but she stood and watched with an expression of gloating enjoyment as Professor Trelawney shuddered and moaned, rocking backward and forward on her trunk in paroxysms of grief. Harry heard a sob to his left and looked around. Lavender and Parvati were both crying silently, their arms around each other. Then he heard footsteps. Professor McGonagall had broken away from the spectators, marched straight up to Professor Trelawney, and was patting her firmly on the back while withdrawing a large handkerchief from within her robes.
"There, there, Sybil, calm down. Blow your nose on this. It's not as bad as you think now. You're not going to have to leave Hogwarts."
"Oh, really, Professor McGonagall?" said Umbridge in a deadly voice, taking a few steps forward. "And your authority for that statement is..."
"That would be mine," said a deep voice.
The oak front doors had swung open. Students beside them scuttled out of the way as Dumbledore appeared in the entrance. What he had been doing out in the grounds Harry could not imagine, but there was something impressive about the sight of him framed in the doorway against an oddly misty night. Leaving the doors wide behind him, he strode forward through the circle of onlookers toward the place where Professor Trelawney sat, tear-stained and trembling, upon her trunk, Professor McGonagall alongside her.
"Yours, Professor Dumbledore?"
said Umbridge with a singularly unpleasant little laugh.
"I'm afraid you do not understand the position I have here."
She pulled a parchment scroll from within her robes.
"An order of dismissal signed by myself and the Minister of Magic. Under the terms of Educational Decree No. 23, the High Inquisitor of Hogwarts has the power to inspect, place upon probation, and sack any teacher she, that is to say, I, feel is not performing up to the standard required by the Ministry of Magic. I have decided that Professor Trelawney is not up to scratch. I have dismissed her."
To Harry's very great surprise, Dumbledore continued to smile. He looked down at Professor Trelawney, who was still sobbing and choking on her trunk, and said,
"You are quite right, of course, Professor Umbridge. As High Inquisitor, you have every right to dismiss my teachers. You do not, however, have the authority to send them away from the castle. I am afraid," he went on with a courteous little bow, "that the power to do that still resides with the headmaster, and it is my wish that Professor Trelawney continue to live at Hogwarts."
At this, Professor Trelawney gave a wild little laugh in which a hiccup was barely hidden.
"No, no, I'll go, Dumbledore. I shall leave Hogwarts and seek my fortune elsewhere."
"No," said Dumbledore sharply. "It is my wish that you remain, Sybil."
He turned to Professor McGonagall.
"Might I ask you to escort Sybil back upstairs, Professor McGonagall?"
"Of course," said McGonagall.
"Up you get, Sybil."
Professor Sprout came hurrying forward out of the crowd and grabbed Professor Trelawney's other arm. Together they guided her past Umbridge and up the marble stairs. Professor Flitwick went scurrying after them, his wand held out before him. He squeaked,
"Locomotor trunks!"
And Professor Trelawney's luggage rose into the air and proceeded up the staircase after her, Professor Flitwick bringing up the rear. Professor Umbridge was standing stock still, staring at Dumbledore, who continued to smile benignly.
"And what,"
she said in a whisper that nevertheless carried all around the entrance hall,
"are you going to do with her once I appoint a new divination teacher who needs her lodgings?"
"Oh, that won't be a problem," said Dumbledore pleasantly. "You see, I have already found us a new divination teacher, and he will prefer lodgings on the ground floor."
"You've found?"
said Umbridge shrilly.
"You've found? Might I remind you, Dumbledore, that under Educational Decree 22,
the Ministry has the right to appoint a suitable candidate if, and only if, the headmaster is unable to find one," said Dumbledore. "And I am happy to say that on this occasion I have succeeded. May I introduce you?"
He turned to face the open front doors, through which night mist was now drifting. Harry heard hooves. There was a shocked murmur around the hall, and those nearest the doors hastily moved even farther backward, some of them tripping over in their haste to clear a path for the newcomer. Through the mist came a face Harry had seen once before, on a dark, dangerous night in the Forbidden Forest. White blonde hair and astonishingly blue eyes, the head and torso of a man joined to the palomino body of a horse. "This is Ferenczi," said Dumbledore happily to a thunderstruck Umbridge. "I think you'll find him suitable."